All right, Alexander, we have a lot to get to. On this video, we'll focus a little bit more on what's going on with this Tucker Carlson, Sidney Powell thing. But I think th there's a lot more to what's going on that we'll try to add a lot more context to this rift between Tucker and Powell, because I think there's a lot more meaning to it, or maybe not that much meaning, but there's a lot of different things happening in the background, which are related to this rift between Tucker Carlson and Sidney Powell. But there are a lot of things going on in general with the Trump campaign and the Trump campaign's legal team and what they're doing. And there's two topics that I think we have to talk about before we get into the Tucker Carlson, Sidney Powell news story. But the first thing I want to say is that Fox News is knee-deep in this, because if we go back to election night, Fox News is the channel that may have changed history forever, because it is Fox News that called Arizona early when, we've now seen that Arizona was really too close to call. And that call of Arizona by Fox News triggered a chain reaction of events, which has led us to where we are today. I mean, literally, that it's like that moment in time changed history, and it is Fox News that took that decision. For whatever reasons they took that decision, who knows? But they took the decision to call Arizona when they did, and everything changed from that moment on. And it brings us to where we are today, and it brings us to Tucker Carlson, who works at Fox News, and Sidney Powell, who is one of the Trump campaign lawyers, who's fighting this these election irregularities. So we'll call them election irregularities. But before that, we have two breaking stories which we need to get to, which will add some context as to what's going on with the Trump team's legal fight. The first one is we have the news that the new Supreme Court circuit assignments are being given to, you could say, the conservative judges. You have Brett Kavanaugh in Michigan. You have Amy Coney Barrett, Wisconsin. You have Samuel Alito, Pennsylvania, and you have Clarence Thomas in Georgia. So my first question to you, very quickly, what do you make of this? This is effective, by the way, November 20, 2020. That's when this goes into effect. These will be the Supreme Court justices who are running the circuit courts in these states.
Yes, I think this is actually good because, from the Trump administration, the Trump campaign's point of view, because what it means is that the ultimate justice in, overall watching, supervising position is somebody who you feel is ideologically on your side. Now, I want to make this absolutely clear. Supreme Court justices, I'm sure, do their job properly. These justices certainly would. I don't expect them to do anything other than act with integrity and honor in how they administer their cases and supervise their districts. But having said that, I mean, it's always better if you're going to argue a case to know that the person in overall, charge is your friend as opposed to your enemy. I mean, that goes without saying. And if I may say, I mean, this is true in every legal system. And in some legal systems, like in Britain, for example, it is an extremely sensitive issue which judge is picked to handle a particular case. Because, of course, this is considered a very, very important fact that needs to be kept away from the various parties, because it is recognized that a sympathetic judge makes a difference. Bear in mind that law is not an exact science. I think that's an important thing always to understand. I mean, it's not mathematics where, add up things and you always get the same answer. Law, obviously there's rules, obviously there's principles, obviously you follow those rules and principles. But how you interpret them, a judge has a very great deal of discretion to do. And a sympathetic judge will point in one direction, an unsympathetic judge will interpret in a different direction. So that does play a role. I don't mean to suggest again, and I want to repeat this, that these judges will in any way compromise their integrity as judges by acting inappropriately. But the fact that they are sympathetic, the Trump team will judge as helpful.
All right. Okay, so great. That's overall, that's good news for the Trump team overall. Pennsylvania now. We had the news that the Dominion voting systems, Dominion voting systems, the company behind Dominion voting systems, the companies that are running Dominion, they're always changing all the time, which is odd. But anyway, that's for a different video perhaps. But they've lawyered up now, and they didn't show up to a Pennsylvania State House fact-finding hearing. And they decided to lawyer up instead. This infuriated the Pennsylvania State House. It really did infuriate them. And at a press conference on Friday morning, the State Government Committee Chair Seth Grove said that 1.3 million Pennsylvanians who use Dominion's voting machines have been, and I quote, hung out to dry and slapped in their faces. What does this tell you that Dominion, the representatives, the executives at Dominion did not go to this fact-finding hearing and instead opted to lawyer up? What does this hint to? I mean, this was a slap in the face to the Pennsylvania legislatures.
Absolutely. Well, what it hints at, it doesn't hint at it, what it says is that Dominion anticipates legal action, either legal action that will be brought against them or legal action which they're going to bring, and they don't want to attend any meetings or discussions in which they may say things or may be maneuvered into saying things which might be used against them in court proceedings, where they might, you know, they might make slip out things which could be treated as admissions. So that looks as if it's a anticipation of a legal battle which is coming. I don't think anybody is surprised about that, but it is very, very interesting that they've taken that step. Because obviously, if they felt completely secure and strong in their position, they would presumably feel more confident about attending a fact hearing, a fact meeting like this one. So it's a sign of two things, of legal proceedings pending, or at least anticipated, and a sign of nervousness. I mean, of that there is no question. I mean, what did they say? You know, innocence always proclaims itself. Guilt always evades and hides. I don't want to go too far down that particular route because, you know, there might be all kinds of arguments here. But it is interesting that they didn't attend.
Yeah, very interesting move. There's no doubt that court cases are coming. Yes. They are on the horizon, and that leads us to Sidney Powell and Tucker Carlson. But let's talk about Sidney Powell. Mm. She doesn't want to go on Tucker Carlson tonight. Yes. That's obvious. Who knows the reasons? Mm-hmm. It's obvious she doesn't want to go on Tucker Carlson tonight.
Yes.
That's a fact. It's obvious that Tucker Carlson, probably every mainstream media host, wants her on their show. I mean, outside of MSNBC and CNN, okay, the fake news. But, you know, she is the hot ticket to get on your show. No doubt about it. Sidney Powell is going on a lot of shows. And we'll get to the Fox News hosts that she has decided to go on. She has picked certain Fox News hosts that for one reason or another, she wants to appear. But she is going on other networks as well. For example, she was on Glenn Beck's show and his radio program. Glenn Beck sent this tweet, and this is also kind of breaking news. At Sidney Powell of President Trump's legal team tells me, quote, she will start putting documents online as early as this weekend and hopes to take the election to court by next week. That's a quote. We also have this quote. Powell says her team does have massive amounts of evidence to the point we haven't even had time to process all of it. And once again, she doubles down and says she's hoping a lawsuit will be filed by next week. That's another quote. She's hoping a lawsuit will be filed by next week. So that's what she told Glenn Beck. Your thoughts on that, Alexander?
Well, I think this has been a damaging affair, this quarrel, because, of course, some people have seized on it to cast doubt on what she's saying. And I don't just mean Democrats. I mean some Republicans. I was reading the Washington Examiner, which is absolutely the voice, if you like, of the establishment Republican Party in Congress. And they're now basically telling, well, they're not basically, they are telling Trump to concede. And they're doing this essentially as an outcome of this row. I am not going to start, you know, throwing stones at either Tucker Carlson or Sidney Powell. I don't think either of them have behaved wisely in this situation. I think Tucker Carlson threw a hissy fit because she wouldn't appear on his programs, whereas she was appearing on other people's. And I think that Sidney Powell could have appeared on his program and put her case. But she is obviously under extremely tight schedules. And I think this is a point we need to understand. It's all very well for Tucker Carlson to say, come along, appear on my program for an hour, set it all out there. First of all, there might be legal reasons, which I discussed in our previous video, why she might not be prepared at this time to disclose her hand, give away all the evidence she has, inform the other side, give the other side time to sort out their own response. But also, and I think this is a point to say, she probably doesn't have much time to spare anyway. She may be appearing, you know, on certain programs like Glenn Beck's because she knows that she's has this under some sort of control. But the clock is ticking. There isn't much time. Most of her time now must be devoted to sorting out her legal strategy, getting her various applications and case notes together, making, you know, the various submissions, ensuring that the various submissions she's going to put to the various courts are written, and getting all that ready. Now, the most important thing is this. She says that she's going to have all this evidence. We're going to start seeing more of this evidence, some of it this weekend, more of it next week, and which is excellent. We need to see it because obviously we need to get a sense of what this is to weigh it. We are also beginning to get a sense of what her legal strategy is. And that legal strategy appears to be to bring individual actions against electors, perhaps House of Representatives, perhaps state officials. So that looks like multiple actions against lots of people spread out over a fairly wide area, very demanding, and that may explain, as I said, why there's been some of these problems. But at least we're now getting a coherent sense of her strategy. What I will also say is that I do wonder whether part of what her strategy may be is to goad Dominion into bringing legal action against her. Because as has been pointed out by Jonathan Turley, some of the things that she was saying against Dominion, if they are untrue, are defamatory. If Dominion wants to clear its name, it should logically be bringing lawsuits against her. Remember, that will open them up to the disclosure, the discovery process, which would be extremely useful. It would enable her to go in and start getting, in evidence out of them and get court orders to produce evidence out of them. High risk strategy, obviously, very high risk, but it is a possible way forward. Alternatively, if Dominion doesn't do it, if they don't bring defamation proceedings against Sidney Powell, well, then, of course, that begs the question, why? Why are they not bringing those defamation proceedings, given that she went out of her way on Thursday to say all those things about them, you know, about, basically accuse them of being involved in a conspiracy to steal the election? So one wonders, well, why Dominion is playing its cards so close to its chest, and why, if it is luring up, it isn't acting rather more vigorously than it has been acting. So lots of unanswered questions. I anticipate next week will be the week of decision. Okay. I mean, it has to be, because time is so limited. And we will see there where this is going. It seems to me there is a division of labor here. Giuliani's trying to pull the various Pennsylvania cases together. And that's a complicated story because there are lots of courts and lots of things going on. But nonetheless, I think he will over time pull it together. And he's now got a superseding claim, which I think finally gets it all in one in a proper shape. And it seems to me Sidney Powell is now pushing the national picture, the claim that there is some kind of national, if you like, conspiracy. I think conspiracy is the word that's used to try to steal the election at a national level. So we have Giuliani focusing on Pennsylvania, Sidney Powell trying to cover the entire United States. Both of them, by the way, federal prosecutors in the past. So they're not unfamiliar with this sort of thing.
Right. We'll get into, I want to get into the Tucker Powell dynamic a little bit more. But a couple of comments. Sidney Powell did this weekend pretty much say that she will go after the electors in a lawsuit. Yes. So, I mean, yes. I think that's definitely now in her sights. Yes. She's going to go after them if they decide to certify. So, and we are seeing in Michigan, I think a couple of people saying, you know what, maybe we should do a full audit. Maybe we shouldn't certify. So I think she is rattling some cages.
Oh,
just
yes.
a thought. But I think she is telegraphing that intention. Yes. So she definitely has a strategy there. As I was listening to you speak about her strategy with regards to Discovery and Dominion, and what you meant about Turley's article, Jonathan Turley, and that was an excellent article by Turley as well with Dominion and lawyering up. And I was listening to you. Didn't Sidney Powell use, and listen to me carefully, and I hope you remember this because I'm a little foggy on her technique, but didn't Sidney Powell use something of a similar technique with Michael Flynn and Judge Emmett Sullivan? And I forgot the circumstances. You have a better memory than me, so maybe you'll remember, where she managed to somehow make Emmett Sullivan's decisions work against him so that he could open up a lot of the case file for Discovery, and then Sidney Powell blew it wide open with a lot of text messages. I think it was the FBI insurance policy messages and stuff like that. I don't know if I'm getting this wrong or not, but she kind of used Emmett Sullivan's own delaying tactics and his own judgments against him so that she could open up the case file and jump into Discovery. So I think, if I'm not mistaken, she's used this technique before in a way with Flynn.
That's exactly what she did. I mean, she got, because the case was prolonged by Sullivan in the way that it was, she managed to get an enormous amount of discovery out of the FBI, which the FBI didn't want. That's why we know so much about Flynn. I mean, it worked brilliantly there. And of course, the problem with Sullivan was he was basically, in a way, having to concede these discovery requests because he was, in fact, resisting terminating the case and was himself calling into question certain decisions that the Justice Department was taking. So Sidney Powell is obviously very skilled at using the discovery process in a very, very powerful way. It is always easier to get discovery, by the way, on the backhand as a defendant than on the front hand as a plaintiff. And if I can explain why, as the plaintiff, you have to go to court. You have to show to the judge that you have a case. And, of course, you have to resist the defendant's attempts to strike you out, which will be based on your pleadings. So if you don't have any evidence to provide there, then, of course, you can always, as a plaintiff, you're always at risk of being struck out. However, if you are the defendant, but you want the case to proceed, you can come along to the judge and say, please order XYZ disclosure because I need all this evidence to prove my defense. So it tilts the balance. It makes disclosure much easier. I'll tell you who else did this, by the way, and did this incredibly effectively. And that was that Russian internet company that ran that troll farm. They were being prosecuted, or rather there was a claim against them. There was a case against them brought by the Justice Department, and they brought, they turned it round by using the discovery process. And in that particular case, rather there were plaintiffs, the Justice Department were plaintiffs, rather than continue with the case, the Justice Department dropped the entire prosecution because they didn't want to engage in discovery. That was a criminal case. This is a civil, defamation is more a civil sort of case, but the essential tactic is the same. So I think there may be some element of what she's trying to do. Of course, it's high risk. She loses a defamation case against Dominion, then she's wiped out. So, so I mean, you know, it's high risk in very, very high stakes. She's, if that is indeed her tactic, she's a very, very brave lady, and she must be very, very sure of what her case is.
Yeah, but everything's on the line here, not only her. I mean, we're talking about the whole United States, the whole republic.
But there are many people who would still not take that.
Right, exactly. But on the flip side, can you not make the argument, before we get into Tucker Carlson and Sidney Powell, a little more into that dynamic, on the flip side, can you not make the argument that Dominion is in a really tough spot too? Because on the one hand, they're getting their name, their company, everything is just demolished at this point.
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
There's no way they could do business ever again as Dominion.
Yes.
Impossible. So either they don't defend themselves and they're finished as a company, the whole thing, or somehow they go to defend themselves and they lawyer up and they go after Sidney Powell, who's going in front of the press and saying all these things about how crooked, corrupt, and evil Dominion voting systems are. I mean, they have to also make a very difficult decision.
Of course they do. Exactly, they do. They have to make an extremely difficult decision. And that's why I said, I do wonder whether Sidney Powell is trying to goad them into bringing a defamation case against her. Because that's how it looks to me. I mean, these are extraordinary claims that she's making. You are absolutely right. If these claims continue to circulate in that way and are not refuted, then Dominion is, frankly, you know, up the creek and without a paddle, as we say in England.
How could any state in the United States realistically say, yeah, when we go for this vote, even for the small town mayor, how could they say, yeah, we're going to be using Dominion voting systems?
Well, exactly. Of course, I mean, she threw all that in about Venezuela and Chavez and all that, all that sort of stuff, communist money behind them. I mean, as I said, that's why I do wonder whether, as I said, this wasn't an attempt to goad them into bringing a defamation case, because you could hardly say more serious things about a company. And Jonathan Turley, now Jonathan Turley isn't, I mean, I've taken his analysis, I should make this very clear, several steps further. He's not saying that, you know, Sidney Powell has intentionally set herself up to bring a defamation case against herself. But the point Jonathan Turley is making is that if Dominion doesn't bring a defamation case and leaves all these allegations out there unanswered, then, well, frankly, it's, you know, in a very, very bad way. So if it doesn't bring that defamation case, if it's more worried about bringing a defamation case than not doing so, what is it hiding?
Yeah,
I mean, that's the obvious question. I mean, you know, what is it hiding? Why is it afraid to bring a defamation case? What is it about discovery that it does that it's nervous of?
Very high stakes games being played by Sidney Powell. Very interesting strategies.
Well, what I was going to say, I mean, you know, the United States is the place where people know how to play poker best. This is a poker game of a kind of, you know, I've never seen. I always say, by the way, the litigation, civil litigation, not so much criminal litigation, but civil litigation is a cross between poker and chess. There's a chess element because you have to assess and weigh your every move. But poker, because clearly there is an always, you know, the element of bluff and counter bluff and, you know, psychology, you're trying to maneuver your opponent into sort of lose-lose positions. And it seems to me this is what we're looking at now.
All right. Okay. Well, let's discuss for a little bit Tucker Carlson and Sidney Powell. Mm-hmm. Now, obviously, everyone knows the backstory. Tucker, surprisingly, and this is one of the parts that really perplexes me a little bit. I find it kind of odd. For some reason, Tucker Carlson decided to announce to his to all his viewers that he wanted Sidney Powell on his show, and Sidney Powell refused. I'm saying that in a nutshell. She refused. Tucker was upset about that. And he made the claim that Sidney Powell, he's been asking around. I imagine his team, his producers have been asking around to some of the people involved in the Trump legal team, the legal campaign. And they say they haven't seen Sidney Powell's evidence. And Trump decided to not only announce that Sidney Powell wouldn't come on the show, but that from their asking around to the Trump team, she hasn't shown anyone the evidence. And he decided to announce that to everybody. To me, that one part alone, I don't know why he did it. You know, I mean, we've both been invited on TV programs. And okay, the producer's getting in touch with you and you say yes or no, I can do it on this day, yes or no. If you say yes, great. If you say no, that's usually the end of it. You never have the host actually going on TV and saying, you know, Alexander McCurse wouldn't come on this show because da-da-da. That's you never have to worry about that. So I thought that was kind of odd that Tucker would announce that. On the flip side, as we said, everyone wants Sidney Powell on their show.
Yes.
And for some reason, and once again, it's Sidney Powell's right. I'm not going to say, I'm not going to, you know, come down on her yes or no or anything. It's her right to go on whatever show she wants.
Exactly.
And for some reason, she has chosen, for Fox specifically, Maria Bartiromo and Lou Dobbs. Mm. And Maria Bartiromo is a tough questioner. But for some reason, she's going on those shows religiously. I mean, you don't have a day go by where she's not on Maria Bartiromo or Lou Dobbs. Sidney Powell's also been on Hannity and Laura Ingraham. I never remember her going on Tucker Carlson ever.
Yeah.
And I never remember Giuliani actually being on Tucker Carlson tonight either. Mm. So there's a lot of dynamics going on here. Maybe it's a personal thing. Mm-hmm. Maybe, you know, people forget that Tucker Carlson also has a past. And in his early days, when he was younger, he was a very abrasive, egotistical guy in his younger days when he was with CNN. That's no secret. Mm. He's even the first one to admit it.
Yes.
That he was not humble by any means when he was at CNN. He's changed a lot. And it seems like he's with his, as he's grown older, he's become a lot more humble, a lot more relaxed, just a better all around professional, better all around host. But, you know, maybe there's a personal level to this maybe that we don't know about. Maybe Tucker Carlson is under pressure from Fox to create some sort of controversy. Maybe he's getting nervous because of what Fox is going through with what we said with their ratings disaster from the November election where they decided to call Arizona and everything has collapsed. There could be a lot of dynamics going on. Maybe Sidney Powell doesn't have the goods ready just yet. I don't know. But there's no doubt that I think there's none of us really have the answer. All we can do is speculate. But, you know, I'm curious to hear your thoughts on this because this is a tricky situation going on here. But the part that does irk me a little bit, a lot actually, is the fact that Tucker did announce it. Well, and I think Sidney Powell, if they had a good relationship or if they liked each other or if they were comfortable with each other, I don't see any reason why Sidney Powell wouldn't go on Tucker's show.
Exactly.
But maybe
exactly.
there is a personal reason there that she doesn't want to go on there.
I have to say, I do wonder the same question. I ask myself the same question because it seems very strange. I mean, it's very strange, first of all, that she's not going on his show. I do repeat again, she must be under intense pressure. And if she's playing this incredibly high stakes poker game that I was saying, I mean, the pressures must be absolutely off the scale. So, I mean, do bear that in mind. And she probably won't want to say anything on a hostile show, if it is going to be a hostile show, or there's problems with that particular show, or there's some backstory between her and Tucker. She won't want to say anything that might compromise her position in such a high stakes poker game. You have to play your cards. As we know, if you play poker, which I don't, by the way, but I have friends who do. You have to play your cards very close to your chest in a game like this. So that may be some background there. What I'm going to say is this. I think the fact that she didn't appear on his program may have recent explanations. I think the fact that Tucker was annoyed about her not appearing on his program, well, you know, he's got a right to be annoyed. He's even got a right to say that he's annoyed about it. What I thought was extremely damaging and has done real harm is that Tucker then went on to say, as you rightly said, that he's discussed it with all sorts of other, or rather his team have discussed it with all sorts of other people in the White House, on the legal team, the Republicans, and they haven't seen this evidence either. Because when you are in a high-stakes poker game, the very last thing you want is somebody saying that you don't have any strong cards. And that it seems to me, is what Tucker has done. And we can completely disregard what the Democrats are saying, because the Democrats, the way they covered the press conference was ludicrous. I mean, you know, they were focusing on Giuliani's hair and things of that kind. But looking at certain, you know, Republican mainstream establishment Republican, you know, sites which are close to the Republican leadership, and we know that many people in the Republican Party don't like Donald Trump. We've talked about this often. Places like the Washington Examiner, the National Review, they are now seizing on what Tucker Carlson has said to say, actually, Sidney Powell is fantasizing. There's no real arguments. There's no real evidence here. And she hasn't got any cards, and therefore Trump should concede. So that is extremely damaging situation. And I have to say this, I find it very strange that we've got into this situation. I also have to say, I would have expected more support for Sidney Powell from other members of the legal team. And I wonder what is going on here. Are there rivalries within the legal team too? I don't know. And maybe we shouldn't speculate too far. All I will say is, I do wish Tucker Carlson had kept these opinions to himself.
Yeah,
I mean, why not? I mean, you know, we got a week. Yeah, we got a week. All we need to do is wait a week and see what happens. I mean, you know.
I think it would have, yeah, look. Okay, Tucker's the number one show on Fox.
Yes.
But once again, I've gone back and I can't remember, and I've gone back through his catalog as much as I could. I can't remember Sidney Powell ever, even before all of this stuff, even during the Flynn stuff. I can't remember her going on Tucker Carlson. I remember her going many times on Laura Ingraham, many times on Hannity. Tucker Carlson never. So maybe there's something that we just don't know there.
Possibly.
And maybe, you know, for the legal team, this is not really a big deal, because like you said, they have so many other things that are of much, much higher priority, that discussing a television appearance is probably, you know, on the lowest side.
Well, absolutely.
Also, maybe there is, not maybe, I think there definitely is a lot of palace intrigue going on at Fox News as well.
Yeah,
I think there are people at Fox News who are siding with Trump. Without a doubt, Maria Bartiromo, Lou Dobbs, Jesse Waters, I mean, to name a few people that have definitely said, you know what, I'm sticking with the president. There are some people that are, you know, towing the line a little bit. You know, I would say Hannity, Laura Ingraham, and Tucker Carlson are kind of trying to play a little bit of a balance act. Some of them are leaning a little more towards Trump, but not hedging their bets with the Biden camp. Others are leaning a little Biden, but not hedging their bets with Trump. And then, of course, you have many, many people in Fox News who have said, you know what, I'm going all in with Biden and the deep state and the intel agencies. I'm done. So, I mean, I think there's a lot of people in Fox who are also trying to navigate the situation and trying to come out on top and come out ahead, because these are people that are probably thinking about the big contracts, the big TV shows, you know, their career, etc. So I think there's a lot of stuff like that going on. And finally, Alexander, another thing that irks me is during Russiagate, everyone at Fox News was all in to support Trump. Everyone. Yes. I mean, without Fox News, we have to be honest, without Fox News, the Russiagate thing might have pulled Trump under. But Laura Ingraham, Sean Hannity, Tucker Carlson, all the people on the five, everybody, they went all in to expose what a hoax Russiagate was when every other channel was propagating the nonsense 24/7. Fox News really stepped up for Trump during the Russiagate thing. Yes. For this, you can see for this case, this election, it's a divided house without
a
doubt.
Absolutely. And, you know, somebody once said, some famous person once said that a house divided against itself cannot stand. And look what is happening to Fox. I'm going to just say this. We don't know the backstories and maybe we shouldn't speculate too much about them. But one point you made, I think, is absolutely true. Sidney Powell's priority at this moment in time must be the court case that she's bringing. What Tucker Carlson says, I can't imagine that it's really very much at the top of her list of concerns. At the end of the day, if next week we see a legal breakthrough, if we start seeing things happening, you know, activity, if we start seeing, you know, action being brought against, you know, electors, state officials, people who are alleged to have been involved in this conspiracy, this alleged conspiracy. If we start to see Dominion fighting back, perhaps bringing lawsuits against Sidney Powell or whatever, we're all going to forget about what happened between Tucker Carlson and Sidney Powell. I mean, it's all going to be completely back. It's going to be a story that nobody's going to be interested in. I mean, because it's just basically a row between two people. It's been used. And that's why I think it's done a certain amount of damage now. But as I said, if things evolve the way Sidney Powell is saying, then frankly, nobody's going to care. Nobody's going to be interested. The courts are not going to be interested either. Nobody's going to be interested in what Tucker Carlson has said about Sidney Powell. And, you know, if this thing snowballs even further and we get into a situation where, you know, the fraud is exposed, the conspiracy that she alleges is exposed, and we have a major political and constitutional crisis on our hands, well, frankly, what Tucker and Carlson and Sidney Powell said to each other, I mean, it's not going to be of no interest to anybody. It will be completely forgotten, I predict. Even people with the elephantine memory that we on the Duran have, remembering the smallest details about the smallest things, will probably forget all about it in no time at all.
I agree. I think we're looking at, you know, two people that are traveling on two separate roads. Tucker Carlson is a talk show host, news host, and he's thinking about his show. He's thinking about his ratings. He's thinking about his future, the network, breaking news, you know, remaining the number one guy on cable news. Great. All the power to him. I love Tucker Carlson's show. I'm a fan. But Sidney Powell, the road that she's traveling on, I mean, you're talking about the president of the United States, a rigged election, saving the United States from election fraud. I mean, she's traveling on a road that's, you know, just she's on a different plane than Tucker Carlson is right now. No doubt about it. Absolutely. And along those lines, to close up the video, Alexander, we also have this breaking news, which you can comment on once again, from Sidney Powell, who appeared on Glenn Beck today and is coming from the Washington Examiner. So this is coming from the Washington Examiner. The title reads, Powell, servers were confiscated from electronic voting company in Germany. Mm-hmm. And it was our forces that got them. Now, we reported on this story and we said we couldn't corroborate much of it.
No.
We know that the Army has come out with a statement, both the Army and CITEL, I think it's pronounced CITEL or SCYTEL. Anyway, S-C-Y-T-L. They have both denied that there were any types of servers or confiscations. But I'm going to read you a quote once again from Glenn Beck's show. Quote, the servers at CITEL in Germany were confiscated the other day, Powell told Beck during a 15-minute conversation related to voter fraud claims made by President Trump. Quote, I'm hearing it was our forces that got those servers. So I think the government is now working on an investigation of what really happened. Powell also added, we're getting in evidence also that there were lines into the servers from four foreign countries, all extremely adverse to the interests of the United States. Mm. And then Glenn Beck asked, but wouldn't they have counted those here first and then just uploaded them to the cloud on those servers, maybe perhaps in Germany? Mm. Powell said, right, there were multiple ways of doing the alteration of votes. In essence, Powell is doubling down on the stories that servers were confiscated in Germany. Yes. She is now saying that they were confiscated by the good guys, I guess is what she's saying to Glenn Beck. At least that's what she's saying. That's what she's hearing. She says it was our forces that got those servers. That's a direct quote. And she is doubling down on her allegation that votes were altered from Trump to Biden.
She's not retracted it at all. Nowhere, never in any place has she retracted it. She repeats it all the time. And she's now making allegations that this conspiracy, which she's alleging, involved several other countries. I mean, this is, remember, foreign interference, which was all that Russiagate thing. She's now making that allegation. She's throwing it back in the faces of the people who made it before. But she says that there is actual material and concrete evidence to support this. And she is citing this seizure of the server in Germany as that evidence, or at least as a part of that evidence. All very, very exciting and very interesting. And we shall see. I predict we will know an awful lot more by this time next week. So it's all very interesting, but she's not doubling down, she's tripling down, quadrupling down. She's, as we said, she's raising the stakes all the time. And in a way, they're trying to laugh her off. That's partly what they're trying to do. If she starts bringing proceedings against electors, then it's different. And of course, Dominion is in a very difficult position, as you rightly said, because there's all these allegations about them. People are going to be wondering whether or not they're true. And already people like Jonathan Turley are asking the question, if they are not true, why is Dominion not suing? So it's a very, very, as I said, high stakes game. As I said, if I was playing it, I would be feeling, shall we say, vertigo, butterflies in my tummy. I'm extremely impressed that Sidney Powell feels able to play it. I have to assume that she knows what she's doing. I have to assume that. And I hope so for her own sake too, because as I said, she's taking on some very, very powerful people indeed.
Yeah. It's all on the line, like we said at the beginning of the video. It's all on the line. I just can't. Yeah. The U.S. Army is denying it. The Seitel's denying it. Sidney Powell says it's happened. She said it 3-4 times now.
Absolutely.
What can you say? We're going to find out. We're going to have to find out sooner or later.
We are indeed. Absolutely. I mean, as I said, the point will presumably come this coming week when we find out. And as I said, if it turns out that she is bluffing and that this is all empty and that there's nothing there, then, as I said, she will not survive this reputation wise. If, on the other hand, it's true, then history changes.
I wonder if she's bluffing for a reason, though. That could be a different option. Maybe she could be bluffing for a reason as well. I don't know. I'm just trying to think to my head, why would she go down this road if she doesn't have an overall strategy? It doesn't make any sense.
She's clearly got a strategy of some kind. What she may not have, I mean, she said herself she doesn't have all the evidence. She says she's got lots and lots of evidence, but they've not been able to assimilate it all. But I come back to what I said previously. I do wonder whether she knows quite a lot about Dominion and about what they've been up to. She doesn't have everything, and she's trying to goad them into suing her in a defamation case so that she can hit back by demanding disclosure. Discovery, I should say. Disclosure is what we call it in Britain. I think it's discovery in the US. So that looks to me a highly likely possibility. But I am, awed by the courage of it, because it's to say that it's high risk for a lawyer to put herself in that kind of position is extraordinary.
All right. We'll continue to follow this. And obviously, I guess we're all expecting some big news next week. Let's see.
Well, indeed. Absolutely.
See what it's about. Absolutely. All right. Long video, but we had a lot to cover. Alexander Rickers, thank you very much, guys. PayPal, Patreon, Subscribestar. please help the channel out. Durant Shop, subscribe to the channel. What else? Let me just do a real quick plug. Patriotic Legacy, Durant 20.
Absolutely.
The contest. Actually, the new contest is for a blue camouflage Patriotic Legacy. Use the code Durant 20. You're automatically entered, and you win a Durant t-shirt. And that's it.
And hats too. Remember, amazing hats and sweatshirts and amazing things. And please do try and find us on our other platforms, BitChute, Library, Odyssey, Rumble. I mean, it's hardly news that independent news providers have problems on mainstream platforms. So, I mean, you know, we have to look to find ways to keep our message out, and at the same time support us on Patreon and Subscribestar, as Alex said, so that we can continue to provide you with this kind of news and analysis, and come to our shop, get the great things there, support us also that way, and be the owner of the wonderful things you will find there. And do please follow us in our next program.
Absolutely. And you'll find the links to Patriotic Legacy, Durant 20, 20% off, and you're entered into the contest. You'll also find all the links to the Durant merchandise, great new merchandise. And you'll see that Alexander is wearing a new Durant sweatshirt with the flag of Scotland, I believe, is there.
Scotland, is indeed. Scotland the Brave. And it isn't just a song. It is also true. They're an incredibly brave nation. And they make superb soldiers, by the way, amongst other things. And engineers and artists and all sorts of amazing things.
All right, guys. Take care, everybody.